Good morning. Today is Friday, February the 17th. Joining us this morning is our Arcata City Manager, Karen Diemer. Good morning.
Good morning.
Our quote this morning is actually a sign.
A sign.
It's a sign, not a sign from God. A sign on the wall of the Royal American Restaurant in Oakland. If you don't choose your food, who will?
Glad that California brought us that.
Oh boy. So how's your budget these days?
Our budget was good at mid-year. You know, I mean, I always caution the community and the council that it is a mid-year estimate. So at mid-year, though, we had several sources of revenue that were coming in, at least the first two quarters, at higher estimates than we had started the budget year with. Doesn't mean you can't have a low quarter coming up. But at this point, it looks like we really were on track. We had a couple of changes. One was in our transaction and occupancy tax, what we call TOT, tax on hotel rooms. Part of that was the city council had been asking for staff to really look into the effect of vacation rental by owners or the sort of Airbnb, the room rentals. So we brought in a firm to audit our TOT. So we have a lot of one-time money. So we had about an additional $50,000 coming in TOT tax this year, which I don't think will be an ongoing increase, but is some one-time monies that the council set aside on Wednesday night to look at what specifically they might be able to do to support tourism or the local hotels with that one-time money that we've got from this past TOT collected.
Is that from the Airbnbs that weren't registered or weren't collecting?
It's a real mix. I would say, 75% of it was just a misunderstanding of how the ordinance is written and when you have to pay. You know, how long duration does the stay need to be? How is it collected? And then some of it certainly was just, lack of payment over a period of time that they were able to
collect. So just cleaning things up a little bit.
Yeah.
That's certainly understandable. I mean, it's a normal kind of thing.
Yeah. So that is good. Our sales tax is up about 1%. And then along with that is a transaction and use tax. So that's the specially approved sales tax specific to Arcata. We call Measure G that the voters passed in several years ago. So those both look good. Property taxes are also starting to creep up a little bit. We're seeing a lot of sales in homes, sales in commercial property and development again. So we're starting to see increase in property value. So the outlook at mid-year has been good.
With the residential homes that are turning over, is it in that sweet spot that we're hearing throughout the county, or is this the high end, or is this the folks who bought a house when their kid went through, held on to it for a couple of years, and now they're liquidating?
It tends, in Arcata anyway, to be focused on first-time families or families that weren't able to afford an Arcata that are now moving back into Arcata, wanted to live there. We're seeing
so these are owner-occupied rather than rental.
Yeah.
Or converting into an owner-occupied.
Mm-hmm. We've had probably about a 5 to 7% increase in the sale of the median household in Arcata, but we're still probably 15% below where we were in, 2007, 2008, 2009 before.
Closer to affordable.
Closer to affordable, but it's heading up. So it is a good time to buy if you can find a place.
Oh, that old inventory thing.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what the price is, does it? Can't find it. KINS, News and Information Time.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Karen, so if 2017 is looking pretty good rolling into it, what do you see the economic impacts are as we're rolling towards full legalization of marijuana? Is that in an employment base? Is that a property value? If it's at the manufacturing level, it's not sales tax because they're not paying. And I know that there's the add-on tax of the syntax.
Right, in various that communities
will
that
be
are
down,
passing those.
Down yeah. once that stuff is all solidified. But for this current fiscal year, is it just more employment that is the initial benefit?
Employment and manufacturing and improvement to properties. I mean, that's what we're really seeing in the innovation zone that we created, is to focus on manufacturing. Getting the permit to actually work in the cannabis industry is the easy hurdle. Constructing your facility, your extraction machine, you know, we've got a lot of specialty welding or cabinetry building. So we have a lot of our local manufacturers
kind of gearing up.
That are gearing up to help that industry. And we're seeing a lot of money being invested in properties that really have been dilapidated for, you know, well over a decade in Arcata.
The commercial.
Commercial and light industrial.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not your neighbors.
No, completely prohibited the manufacturing for commercial use.
No,
residential
I was thinking about
zones.
Fixing up that dive that's next to you. Yeah. Property tax, though, doesn't. You're not running around reassessing everybody
monthly. Not under Prop 13, no. So once it turns over and changes hands,
the value is up, but it still doesn't translate until post-sale.
Right, but it's supporting a lot of jobs, and it's, you know, supporting a lot of both in the manufacturing and in the supply side right now. And then at the end, they'll have built new industries, new manufacturers, and then we'll have jobs.
One of the things, I think when Ryan was sitting in the chair, the discussion about the industry development and what is going on and who's where and how, and I totally lost my train of thought. It was around, that once you get the local permits, that's dandy. You still need state permits.
Right.
For the water, for the air, for the and some of them have it, and others, there's a huge backlog. Some of these folks don't know what they're doing as far as filling out applications, so now that there's even more of a backlog, et cetera, just how long does it take to go through that whole process? What are you guys experiencing? Or is the city kind of working as an ombudsman and running the gauntlet for these folks?
City permitting and county permitting are almost apples and oranges. I mean, the difference between having a built infrastructure of a city that has water and sewer takes away an enormous amount of permitting that if you're, you know, growing in a rural area and taking water from, you know, a natural water source and then needing to dispose of that used water somewhere. Completely different permitting process. So for the city, I think the permitting is much shorter time frame. But we're still finding that it takes people, you know, I'd say between 6 and 8 months to get through the permitting. Again, 90% of that is that this is for many of them the first time that they've had to get a building permit. They've had to do plans and specs and engineered drawings, and they are, you know, creating some specialty equipment that requires specialty engineers to say that ventilation system, that spark arresting electrical system will work in this setting. So that's really what's taking the time, is designing the manufacturing space. It's not just getting the permitting to work in the cannabis industry. Once you're within a city with infrastructure that can support the water and sewer.
So there, it seems like there's a new niche that could be there helping folks fill out these permits if you have experience.
There
in that
is.
Area.
And there are a couple of consulting firms that have gotten very savvy in this and have, you know, are now building a success record of taking applicants through the Planning Commission process and getting people up and going. So, what I tell people to do is.
The City Planning Commission.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I tell people to just go back and take a look at past Planning Commission, you know, videos that are all on our website. And you can hear the consultants give their presentations and see if there's one that you think that you would connect with, if that's the route you want to go.
I want to talk to somebody who has had success with a permit. Ask who they used.
Yeah.
I mean, that, I would think that would be
that
a little bit quicker and far less boring.
Oh, you have a secret love for local government. I bet you've watched a Planning Commission meeting or two and found it interesting.
Oh, I nibble about 5 minutes at a time after, you know, I'm yelling at the TV, the dog and is looking at me, and Ange comes around the corner wondering, you know, what's going on. It's like, no, okay, fine. Move on.
Yes. But we have another big change happening in Arcata. We will have a vacant council seat.
I was going to ask you in the second half of the show about your new pier.
Yeah.
Yeah, but apparently you want to jump the gun here about a minute early, huh? We'll just use that as a tease.
As a teaser for the next segment, yes.
Oh, what's his name? You're starting the budget process now for the upcoming year, too.
We are.
Are you using the first half of 16-17 as the base reference?
We use that to help forecast, but we really do look back a couple of years to give the council a better projection. But the first step in our budget process is for the council to have a conversation not about money, but about really goals and priorities. So March 6th and 7th, from 1 to 4, the council will be having those goal-setting sessions. They are open to the public, and we encourage people to come and talk about what the priorities are.
One to four. And you're
on the 6th
wanting
and 7th.
People to
well, we have a lot of other opportunities in the evening for them to give input as well. But this is the time that they'll start vetting out, going through this year's goals, and then starting to set next year's goals.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:30. We'll be back with more from Karen Deamer.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Arcata City Manager Karen Deamer. Talk shop is presented this morning by CDH Painting and by Redec. Karen, oh, what's his name, is now gone, huh?
Yeah.
You miss him at all?
March 1st. Yeah, I do miss him. I think that what Arcata will miss, although he won't be far, is he is so tied in on the statewide level for rural California communities, coastal cities, and you know that sort of regional coastal environmental issues up and down the state. He's done a ton of advocacy for this whole region, but and then specifically for Arcata in Sacramento. And there's that piece that you know we are already missing in Arcata.
Already missing because he's not
busy.
There,
or no,
just because just because
there's more
need for that kind of advocate.
Yeah, he's still finishing up constituency work and still finishing up council work. But at a staff level, we feel like we need to give him the time and space to transition to Fortuna. So
you're going
to
give him all your notes? Your crib notes?
Yeah. At least my cell phone number. Yeah.
What I would have done differently.
My first 100 days. Yeah. I do have that list. I have the list. It's called for my successor, the things you'll curse me for and why they happened.
On the other hand, it's got to be a little exciting for you. Kind of like when Dwayne Riggi went there from Blue Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Known factor, known quantity, familiar with what's going on. You don't have to worry about a 6-month cut and run. Blending in.
Yeah, no, a really good choice for, I think, the Fortuna community, Mark had worked out of a Fortuna office with his Fish and Wildlife state job for a number of years, so he is very familiar with that community, and he's local. We have really struggled in this region bringing up at least upper-level administrative staff that stay in this position. I mean, we hear it also, obviously, within our medical community. It's hard to get doctors to come and stay in this region, so any time that an organization can find somebody to lead that organization locally that has that type of skill, I think is a real fortunate combination.
Yeah, and what's the break-in period? 2-3 minutes?
Yeah.
Which way does the key go in?
Right.
I think that there's something to that. You know, okay, you were around long enough that, okay, you knew what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
But But you look back, Dave Tyson, Loretta Nicholas. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a number of folks who, when you think of who really were the top level folks that were here,
mm-hmm.
they were those, you know, and they obviously retire out in hometown too. But
right.
those were the types of folks that you just kind of go, yeah, we got lucky for a period of time.
Right. Right. And then we're fortunate those folks still stay in the area and still help out. You know.
So he's not going to throw Randy out?
No, I bet he's not going to throw Randy out. He's going to keep him on a tighter call list than he'll keep me.
So the fact that there are so many that are around,
mm-hmm.
whether it's Randy Mendoza, who was in your chair for a mm-hmm. while and is as the top cop, Bill Doberstein,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of the senior staff members mm-hmm. in Fortuna and in the other areas are also local folks.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the electeds at the county level. Okay, you got 1, 2, 3, 4 of the 5 who went, you know, grew up here, were born here. Is this a golden era? for folks, because I wouldn't think that you, it's far less likely to be able to have the wool pulled over your eyes if you know who the players are and you know the history of the players.
Yeah.
Than if you're new to the community and you have to find that out on your own.
Yeah, I do think it is a good period, and I do think it is, I don't know if it's, you know, the golden era, but I think we have a golden opportunity. When I look at our management team staff, I've been in Arcata for 21 years now, and there are several managers.
Told you you're getting there.
I know. There are several folks within our management team that have been there longer than me, and many that have been there just around that 20-year mark. And I say, you know, this is the group that needs to come up with what are those next steps to move this community forward, because we've got so many years of experience of public input and understanding the needs of that community. And I do think we're seeing that at a countywide level.
So as the city managers get together, do you as an entity have an informal priority list for the county? As staff, I know the outside is we march with the orders the city council gives us. Got it.
Yeah.
But there are also issues that cut across jurisdictional lines. Jobs, drug culture, mental health, roads. I mean, everybody's got them. Everybody's dealing with them. Everybody would like to have those conditions change. Do you come together as a think group? And try to brainstorm ways to try to pick those things off? Or is it more, hey, here's my challenge this week. What's yours? How'd you deal with it? You know, and you're dealing with the day-to-day activities. Yeah,
we don't have a formal or informal priority list. I mean, what we really utilize the opportunity of the time we can spend together is to figure out where are those crossover issues. And you've put your, named quite a few of the priorities. And so it's how do we join our resources when we meet informally? How could we bring some resources to those challenges that multiple districts or cities are facing at that time. But we don't generate our own list every year that we're working on.
So is it scary that I got 4 of the top 5 or not? Or are they
so obvious
for everybody?
And
that
we're
it's,
all
yeah.
working on them. So no, I would have been surprised if you didn't get 5 of the top 5. You know?
Oh boy. Okay, yeah. I'll have to think about number 5 during the break. KINS, News and Information Times, 842. We'll be back with more from Karen Deemer.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 847. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Karen Deemer from Arcata. Karen, as you're talking with current, soon-to-be former, mm-hmm. Councilman Wheatley,
mm-hmm.
about his new role as city manager in Fortuna, what would be the two things that you would tell him to embrace that might be a surprise?
Well, I don't think I could tell him anything that would be a surprise.
Okay, let's say suggest insights.
I will say, you know, my first couple of years, one, you know, you have to be open to that there are going to be a lot of different perspectives on every single issue, and being able to listen and understand and really hear what those are before you make recommendations is important. Trying to gather information in as much as you can before you render a decision, I've also learned, is very important. You can also often get, you know, blasted with a lot of information on one side of an issue, and to have to take some time to make sure you've researched the other one. And then the other piece, I think, is just coming up with a balance, really trying to find that balance of making time to be out in the community, making time to meet with employers in the business community, with, you know, the hospitality industry, with your school environment, as well as internally within your organization. It's easy to get isolated in the day-to-day operations, but part of the role as manager is to make sure that you're connected to the community.
So is that your job or your assistant's job to pencil in the time?
Yeah.
To say, okay, you're out of here for 2 hours.
Right.
Go see.
Yeah.
See you at 11.
And I rely on my assistant heavily to do that, to actually schedule appointments for me, to get me out in the community. When I first started, here's the first 20. At some point in the next year, here's the 20 businesses I want to meet with. So it's scheduling. It's taking the time to make sure you schedule it in.
How do you know when to draw the line? I mean, if you said anything, let's say the flowers for the plaza,
mm-hmm.
That's pretty tame stuff, right? Okay, what colors, what sizes would you like? You could be in meetings for the next 2.5 years.
You could.
With everybody telling you what their opinion is about what it should be. Natural, native, color, not color, flowering, not flowering,
You find a natural balance, like in any industry or any business. You find a natural balance of at what point do you have enough information you need to make a decision and move forward. Because your community relies on that as well. They don't, you know, they certainly don't want a government that just sits and talks forever. You know, especially, I think, not in these days. They're really looking for action. So you find that balance. You'll know when it's right. But at this point,
yeah, that would be after the first two people.
Yeah. No.
Well, that would, I guess that's part of that developing the balance.
Yeah.
You know, you might not have time for Bob this time, but on the next topic, Bob's one of the primary guys, and you give him twice as much time as you do Jim. Okay. Well, topic by topic rather than individual by individual.
Wheelie is good at this, but it's amazing how much good can come out of letting a conversation even go off topic for a little bit, and then it comes back around to a decision.
Like this one.
Yeah.
Hey,
have a great weekend.
See everybody Monday.